Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Can someone of color reach a pinnacle of the legal workplace? Netflix explores that dilemma dramatically through Partner Track, its new series introduced this morning. Executive producer and showrunner Georgia Lee joins me next in a same-day internet radio exclusive. Fox Nation enters the made-for-TV flick universe next Thursday with The Shell Collection. Adopted from the best-selling novel, you'll hear the novelist Nancy Nagel in our second half hour. Also ahead, the good news grows for House of the Dragon. NBC considers a prime-time cut. This could be a huge story affecting all of broadcast television. We'll have the details in a few minutes. Our classic trivia question and a good for all ages takeaway of the week. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. And present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Spotify, and many other leading podcast sites, including our newest, Podvine.com. It's just in. Tomorrow will be televised. Thank you all for joining us on this Friday afternoon, where we are in the middle of some thunderstorms here in the New York metro area. 82 degrees at the top of the hour. We have a wonderful hour in store for you to wrap up your week and invite you to be part of the program. All you have to do is pick up the phone and make a call, and when you do, you use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you are catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and TuneIn Radio. We also have our chat room in business and our second guest, Nancy Nagel, who is the author of the best-selling book, The Shell Collector, which on September 1st, that's next Thursday, becomes Fox Nation's made-for-TV movie. She's already in the room. So anyway, join her as well. The room is SimonApple04, and you'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So use the phone or the room. Either way, we hear you, and you can interact with us. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions. Other people will be live with you. We expect to have Georgia Lee from Partner Track live with us momentarily and hope to have her on after these news notes. 10 million people watched the debut of House of the Dragon, the Game of Thrones prequel, on HBO or HBO Max last Sunday night. At least 10 million more have viewed the series on either service since, according to Nielsen and other TV rating organizations. Result? House has a second season approved by parent Warner Bros. Discovery. Season 2 is expected to premiere sometime in 2024, given the length of production and post-production time required. No word yet about HBO going forward with more Game of Thrones-derived prequels or sequels. Trade press reports suggest a quartet of live-action series concepts and three animated efforts are under development. Breaking news this afternoon, one of our broadcast networks shrinking prime time to 2 hours a night. Unthinkable? Not at NBC, with the Wall Street Journal disclosing this afternoon that the Peacock Net is looking at the idea of wrapping its Monday-Saturday evening schedule at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, or 9 p.m. Central, the final hour before late local news will be programmed by each NBC-affiliated station. The idea? Cut costs on an environment where broadcast and cable network viewership is slipping, while smart TV set and device-transmitted channels are surging. Now, NBC has come out with a statement which they gave to both the Journal as well as other entertainment press websites this afternoon. They did not address the story directly from the Journal, and they did say this, and I quote, "We are always looking at strategies to ensure that our broadcast business remains as strong as possible. As a company, our advantage lies in our ability to provide audiences with the content they love across broadcast, cable, and streaming." If NBC decides to trigger this activity, that is, cut back their prime time to 2 hours a night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern time, that'd be 7 to 9 p.m. Central, the earliest time to do it would be the fall of 2023. We will follow this development and see if it actually happens. And I would say this off the bat. If they do decide to make it happen by next fall, they would probably have to tell the stations to get their blessing by the end of this year. So we'll stay in touch on this development, because if it happens, this could be a monumental transformer for all of broadcast television. Now, King of the Hill collaborators Mike Judge and Greg Daniels have landed a series on Peacock. Best Buds is the name of this tune, dealing with a family-owned flower shop located inside a strip mall. This will be Peacock's first adult animation project. Judge and Daniels, through their Bandera Entertainment Company, have a number of projects under review, including a King of the Hill reboot. In other Peacock news, a documentary festival will showcase new specials and multi-part series on a weekly basis from September 14th to October 19th. Up first, Hell of a Cruise, dealing with the Diamond Princess Journey's coronavirus outbreak, in January 2020. And we'll have News Note Quickies at the bottom of the hour. And now joining us live in an internet radio exclusive is the executive producer and showrunner of Partner Track, which premiered earlier today on Netflix and produced here in New York, Georgia Lee. Georgia, congratulations and welcome to our program. And let me see. All right, I do believe we now have Georgia on. Georgia, congratulations. Welcome to our program.
Hey, thank you, my brother. Thank you.
This is not Georgia, hello? I believe.
Yeah, yes, it is.
Who is this on the line?
Georgia.
Hello?
It
is Georgia Lee.
Yeah. What's going on, guys?
Oh, well, it's great to have you. Congratulations. It's a pleasure to have you on the program. First of all, where are you calling from? What city?
I'm coming from New York, New Jersey.
Well, it's great to have you with us. First of all, Partner Track is now a few hours old on Netflix. What kind of feedback have you had so far?
The feedback's been great. I mean, tons of people have gotten hard-ons watching my shit. I mean, we got that shit fucking cranked.
Oh, boy. All right. Obviously, this is a crank caller. I apologize to all of you. That is not Georgia Lee. We apologize because Georgia is a woman, first of all, and secondly, would not use foul language on the air. So I apologize to you and all. We've taken that person off. We are awaiting Georgia to come on the program. In the meantime, we're going to get to our second guest. And when Georgia comes on, we will welcome her on the program. My second guest today is a best-selling author, and she is not a newcomer to the idea of having her work adapted for made-for-TV movies. Several of them have already been adapted in recent years for the Hallmark Channel, and the latest adaptation is The Shell Collector, which is one of her best books ever, and it will premiere September 1st, that's next Thursday, on Fox Nation as their first made-for-TV movie project. Joining me live from a wonderful town in Virginia, known as Patrick Springs, Nancy Nagel. Nancy, thanks for coming on.
You betcha, Simon. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
You're very, very welcome. Again, I apologize to you and all of our listeners for the crank call that opened our show or semi-opened our show. First of all, what's it like to be an author to have your work adapted for whether it's Hallmark Channel or Fox Nation or someplace else?
Oh, my gosh. You know, it's one of those things that you just keep pinching yourself on. My first novel adaptation was Christmas Joy for Hallmark Channel, and that was, 4 years ago, and maybe it's been 5 years ago now, but I still pinch myself when that one airs. And, you know, it's funny because you don't really know what you're going to expect from a movie made out of your novel, but when you start seeing your words come to life, it is just, oh, my gosh, it's like the coolest roller coaster in the whole world.
It's only been a couple of weeks since Fox Nation publicly announced that this was going to happen. I'll tell you what, Nancy, let me see if Georgia Lee has finally come on the line from Partner Track. So hang on for a second.
Awesome.
Georgia, are you
there?
Yes, we're on.
There you go, Georgia. Thank you very much for coming on. We apologize that we had a crank caller sort of impersonating you earlier, so I'm happy that you missed all of that. Welcome aboard, and Nancy, we'll bring you on again at the bottom of the hour, okay?
Sounds good. I'll talk to you then. Welcome, Georgia.
All right, you got it.
Hi,
Georgia,
guys.
Congratulations on your new series. First of all, where are you calling from? What city?
Oh, I'm in L.A. right now.
All right. Well, a few hours so far for your series. This was introduced earlier today on Netflix. What kind of reaction are you getting from the critics and, more importantly, from the viewers?
Oh, it's all just launched, so I actually haven't had a chance to really catch up with everything. I have no idea yet, but my sense from from the text I'm getting, which is not scientifically, statistically accurate data, is that it seems to be going really well. My executive producer, Kristen, said a bunch of her friends are watching it in New York, and one of the ladies watched the episode 4 and missed her train to work. So I take that as an extremely good sign.
Mm-hmm. I understand this is a project that you have been working on for a long time. I believe it's your first one as an executive producer and a showrunner. You have done TV work before. You've done writing for such shows as The Expanse, which started on Sci-Fi, then the last couple of years it moved to Amazon. What had this be your first project where you are really running the show?
Oh, sorry, what was the question?
Why did you decide that this project was based on a novel by Helen Wan? Why have this be like your first project where you are running the show?
Yeah, it's a really good question. Because my heart of all hearts is actually hardcore sci-fi, science fiction, The Expanse being the show that I grew up on and love deeply. And Partner Track would not seem like the first choice for me, honestly. But one of the things one of my mentors always told me, he talked about personal filmmaking, and that ultimately every story is really emotionally at its core has to be about something that you care about, something that you learned along the way in your life, your own emotional journey. And when I read Helen's book, I actually listened to Helen's book. I was driving because there's a lot of driving in L.A. I was listening to her book, and I actually came across, I don't know if you've read her book, but please do, it's a wonderful book. I came across a scene that was a flashback to when Ingrid is a young girl, and she goes to New York City for the first time, and she falls in love with the city. She goes to FAO Schwartz, she goes to Central Park, it's this like perfect day in the big city. And then her parents go to visit, I believe it's her father's like thesis advisor or something, but this lovely white couple that lives in a very fancy, I think, Fifth Avenue apartment. And there's a scene that happens with the doorman, where the doorman mistakes the father for a delivery man and is quite rude to him. And then there is some racial unpleasantness. And Ingrid, as it's described in the book, witnesses, it's basically the first time she witnesses and experiences racism, right, at her father. And I actually had to pull the car aside because I'd started crying. I understood how that little girl felt. And it was in that moment that I understood. It's funny, even when I talk about it now, I still get very emotional about it, the character of Ingrid Young. And I understand why she's so ambitious. Subconsciously, she doesn't understand why she is, but that this is a woman who's trying to feel safe in a world that she didn't feel safe in. So that was the scene that really got me, and I realized that this is a very personal story for me. It's not about spaceships and aliens, which is my usual space, but it was deeply personal to my own experience. So yeah, that's how I got into it.
It also seems, Georgia, this was a very personal story for Arden Cho, who plays Ingrid, who I think may be one of the breakout stars of this year, having seen clips and stories on the trailer. In an interview, go ahead, Georgia.
No, go ahead. Sorry, I'm just so happy that you. I'm delighted that she's popping, because that's we're really excited about her.
Well, given what you just said, Georgia, when she did an interview with the Hollywood Reporter earlier this week, one of the two things she said really struck home. One, that she really appreciated that you and her were able to bond on discussing, you know, being, you know, approaching her character from the perspective of being an Asian American who is trying to, you know, achieve the American dream. And secondly, the fact that in that same interview, she also said basically, you know, I was bullied when I was young. I've been called every, you know, slur in the book when it comes to Asian Americans. I now feel like I can live inside my own skin. And she appreciated this role and appreciated what you've done in terms of, you know, directing her in the right way toward this role.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, Art and I had many conversations after we cast her, and it was just so clear she understood the character, and in fact that she and I had so much similar, like, in common, just our experiences and of having immigrant parents, the expectations of immigrant parents, the racism, the subtle and aggressive racism that you've experienced, in the industry, not in the industry. And we even both have younger siblings and the dynamics of younger siblings and, you know, our families. It was just so similar. It was really quite wonderful. And we were so excited because this character of Ingrid Young, it was a really hard role to cast because she has to be a really badass, I don't know if I want to swear on this podcast. She's supposed to be a very tough, hard-driving lawyer who does mergers and acquisitions. So there's a real steely toughness about her that we had to find. At the same time, there's also a vulnerability about her She's a little bit lost, this character, right? And to find that complexity in an actress was really wonderful. So we were excited when we saw Arden's tape because she had that duality that was what we're looking for.
We're speaking with Georgia Lee. She is the executive producer and showrunner of Partner Track, the new Netflix legal drama produced here in New York that premiered earlier today. And if you have a question or comment for Georgia, make a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonAppel04 by name. Georgia's joining us live from Los Angeles. I'm here in New York, Simon Appel with you on this Friday afternoon, last Friday of August 2022. Happy you're with us for this later-than-usual program of the show about TV's current and future. Usually on 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. We're going to be back with 3 new episodes coming your way next week. The first one will be on Monday at this very hour, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. And among our guests, we'll have the creator and executive producer of DC Stargirl on the CW, Jeff John, a series that originally started on DC Universe, the late limited mega content service. Then its second season moved over to CW. We'll hear what's up for season 3. Jeff John from Stargirl on the CW, which premieres, by the way, next Wednesday, August 31st, its third season. That's coming up Monday here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Georgia, what was it like for you and Art and everybody else in the cast to do the series here in New York and do it, I would guess, under pandemic conditions?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and actually, Simon, I'm from New York. I lived in New York for 13 years. I miss it so much. It was really amazing and crazy to shoot in New York during the pandemic. It's my first show that I created and show ran. And to have to shoot it in New York City during the pandemic was definitely challenging. And we also had snowstorms. I don't know if you remember last year. There was also just like crazy weather, crazy pandemic. So lots of challenges, a lot of curveballs thrown at us. At the same time, I was so excited to be back in New York City. I'm such a New York City girl. I was just delighted to be back. We shot at these iconic places where even living 13 years in New York, I just never really had access to, like the Plaza, Bumbleman's at the Carlisle. You know, we were shooting in Central Park. We're down in Madison Park. And everywhere in New York, it was just all these iconic places. So it was really kind of a weird dream come true homecoming for me, the production. So yeah, it was amazing. It was very challenging, but I'm so happy we got to shoot in New York versus, you know, a lot of shows shoot in like Toronto or Vancouver for New York. And even though it was probably logistically and financially more challenging, I was really happy we got to do it in the real place that the story's about, because that kind of, you can't fake that kind of authenticity of the energy and the dynamism of the city. So yeah, I can't even describe how amazing the homecoming was for me.
The Chicago
and
Tribune.
And I got to eat all my favorite restaurants, which was my,
which favorite restaurant?
Oh my gosh. Everything from, there's a tiny little hole in the wall called Hopkey down in Chinatown that makes the best like fried chicken over rice for like $5. I think I ate 3 of them the first day I got back. So I'm one end of the spectrum to like Via Corona, my favorite Italian place in the village, you know. I love food.
New York City is a festival
of
restaurants.
Food.
Manhattan, Brooklyn, Bronx,
oh my
Staten
God.
Island,
yeah.
et cetera, Queens.
Yeah.
No matter where you go, so many great places. The Chicago Tribune critic, whose review you can see in Rotten Tomatoes, made mention the fact that what this person liked about your series was that it wasn't just about Arden Cho's story and her character. There's two other people, both of whom are also trying to make partner, and they're played. One is played by Bradley Gibson, and the other is played by Alexandra Tersham, and they're both terrific, and they have their own stories. And I'm wondering, as time went on, did you decide in the writing, for example, in the directing, to make sure that while the focus, the main focus stays on the main character, the other two characters, you know, sort of get their spotlight?
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. It's we always talk about how their friendship is magic, the friendship is magic moment. It's really, I feel like it's really led by an ensemble of these trio of, you know, Arden playing Ingrid, Alex Tershon playing Rachel, and Bradley Gibson playing Kyler. Like, the three of them are to me, what makes the show tick. And absolutely from the very beginning, we always thought about the three storylines and weaving it throughout the season. And very much the theme that I had was very excited about exploring season one is that what Ingrid has, all of them have to discover at the end of the day, is that real power comes from being true to yourself. And what happens is a series of Faustian bargains, right? That season one is kind of a series of Faustian bargains. And we see not just Ingrid's character, but we see the character of Tyler and the character of Rachel have to wrestle with their moral compass. And, you know, what are they willing to sell their soul for and what really matters? That journey is what was the theme for all of season one. And all three of the characters go through their version of that journey.
Did you invite everybody, not just the cast, but the production team, the writers and directors? I want to get to one director in a moment who we had in this program last week, Julianne Robinson, did the first two episodes. Did you invite them all, hey, do what we're doing with Arden. You know, she's bringing her life story into this as much as possible. Bring your life story, whether you're a cast member, whether you're a writer, bring your life story into this. Bring what you've encountered in your life that was a barrier and how you got through it. In the making of the series?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I have to do a shout-out to Julianne Robinson because we were so delighted and shocked that she was willing to do our little show because she's just come off of Bridgerton, of course, which is the biggest hit last year. So Julianne actually was working with her, partnering with her was such a great experience, and she was so good at we actually had for block one, it was just episodes one and two, we actually had the luxury of a little bit of time to rehearse, which as you probably know on TV shows, you don't have, as you do with film, a lot of time to rehearse. So she was able to work with the actors and take the time and really chat about it. And I remember at one of the rehearsals, Bradley took me aside and said, and I was really touched by this, and he said he was so happy that the character, because they had nine of the scripts up front, and he said he was really happy to see that the character of Tyler wasn't just about a coming out story about him being gay and black, that it's about, it is about that, but that, that the portrayal, for example, there's, I don't know if you've seen, but we go home with him to his family, to his parents, and it's not the story about how his parents are freaking out that he's gay. The story is about something other than that. And I remember Bradley just telling me that he really appreciated that the writers had thought deeper than just the coming out story. So stuff like that was very, I was very touched and like really happy when you hear that from your actors.
Mm-hmm. Partner Track is Netflix's newest drama produced here in New York. Georgia Lee is the executive producer and showrunner, and we are in the middle of a same-day internet radio exclusive interview with her. She's live with us from L.A., and I'm here in New York. Simon Abbott, I'm with you on this Friday afternoon here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. 82 degrees at the top of the hour. We've had thunderstorms on and off most of the day today. We need it because there is a drought in parts of the New York metro area. And from questions and comments, there are many minutes with Georgia. Make that call, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up near the top of the hour, classic trivia question of the week. You could win three prizes if you are first with the correct answer. We'll get to that question in a few moments. And 1 week from today, we will mark a big occasion next month, the 50th anniversary of CBS launching what turned out to be maybe the first real great dramedy on television, MASH. Reels is putting together a special on the subject, and we will have in a special roundtable, the executive producer of that special, Andy Streitfeld, the director of that special, Brad Osborne, and former Fox executive Dan Harrison, who is also a MASH expert. We will celebrate the 50th anniversary of MASH on CBS 1 week from today as our lead segment right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Georgia, there have been reports that you are putting together a writer's collective at Netflix with some of your fellow producers to encourage more series of color at Netflix. What's the status of that project?
Oh, yeah. It's a company called Magic Quill Productions, which my dear friends Joe Henderson, Matt Owens, and I started last year, and we're based at Netflix. And the whole idea is a writer-focused company where we, Matt Owens, Joe Henderson, and I are all showrunners, Joe being the most experienced, and the idea of really developing projects that really that are genre with heart, meaning stories that are science fiction, fantasy, that are mystery, thriller, that really put character first and foremost. So So for us to develop projects like that, but also, and this is part of our mission that we're very excited about, is to really identify and support the next generation of storytellers. And we mean that very, very seriously because we feel as showrunners, the best way to spot the most talented writers is in the writer's room, because we actually hear their pitches every day. We read their outlines. We read their scripts. So you can kind of get a sense of you know, who are your real stars. And the idea is to help promote people who aren't normally promoted to be showrunners, so people of color, marginalized groups, women, what have you, and for us to really be a backstop for them, for us to mentor and support them to become showrunners themselves. So I'm actually really excited about Magic Quill and everything we're doing on that front.
Any word on when we're going to see the first project?
I don't know if I'm allowed. Soon. I would say soon. I'd say soon, yes. And I think everyone would be very excited. I would think everyone would be very excited. And it's very soon, and I think it is a project that is very, very much in vein, in line with all the values and things that we're excited about. So, yes. And Simon, maybe we'll talk soon. And
first of all, what kind of role did Helen Wan have in making Partner Track, and what does she think about what you've done?
Oh, my gosh, Helen. I love Helen. She, I don't know if you've ever spoken to her. She might be the most exuberant, bubbly, happy person I've ever met. And she's the one who keeps reminding me that, because in all this madness, that it's amazing. Every day is amazing. Every day she wakes up and thinks it's a dream that she's going to wake up from, that she's to really be grateful and to savor it. I just heard from another friend of mine who was sitting next to her at the premiere screening that didn't know Helen, but just saw Helen, I guess, clutch, I assume it's her husband's arm, and was like in tears, like happy tears the entire time. And I feel like that is the exact right mood that all of us are in. A huge thanks to Helen for writing this beautiful book, because it's based on her experience, right? It's her real lived experience. She worked at a big law firm, and a lot of these moments, these scenes, like the scene with Ingrid when she walks into the conference room, is mistaken for the paralegal. I mean, this happens all the time, right? It happened to Helen. So I think the reason why the show resonated with me, and hopefully will resonate with a lot of people, is that it came from Helen's real experience. So I'm just really grateful that she wrote the book, and she's, you know, so delightful to work with. And and her very wise exuberance, I think, is the lesson I take away from all this, to just be super happy and grateful when things are going well.
Georgia, two people have already responded on Rotten Tomatoes. They love the show. One gave it 4 stars, one gave it 5, and they both have the same thought. Are we going to see a season 2?
I don't know. Ask Ted Sarandos. I hope so. I really hope so. Netflix has been wonderful. They've been super supportive of the show. I feel so lucky. All our executives, you know, Bella Bajaria, Peter Friedlander, Jenny Howe, Carrie Hendry, they were all so supportive of the whole project. And I think per Netflix's normal process, they have to wait and see what the viewership numbers look like. But I'm literally knocking on wood, Simon. I hope that we'll know soon if we get a season 2.
The program is Partner Track. It's day one of this new series produced here in New York. It's on Netflix. We're on smart TV sets and smart TV devices near you. For more details about the program online, go to Netflix.com. That's Netflix.com. Partner Track, the newest Netflix scripted series produced here in Nueva York. Georgia Lee, the executive producer and showrunner, thank you for making time on day one to be with us. Congratulations to you and Art and everybody on the cast and crew for this. Hopefully today's the beginning of a long run for the show. And all the very best with the Writers Collective. We would love to be back on when your first project under that new production company is ready to go.
Thank you so much, Simon. Thanks for having me.
A pleasure, Georgia. Take care. Enjoy a fantastic weekend.
You too. Take care, everyone.
Georgia Lee, executive producer and showrunner of Partner Track, joining us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Before we go to our break at the bottom of the hour, let's do our classic trivia question. It's our second time we've offered the question, and it's very simple. Who created Candid Camera? Who created Camera Candid? Candid Camera. That's a little bit of a tongue twister. Who created Candid Camera? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. If you're first with the correct answer by email, you win. And what do you win? You win two best-selling books, The Unexpected Danny Green by Paul Friedman and Flirting with Fame by noted public relations guru out of L.A., Dan Harari, both of whom recent Tawabi televised guests. Plus, you get the Nickelodeon Christmas card set from the popular series The Loud House. That's all yours if you're first with the correct answer to this question. Who created Candid Camera? Just email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. If we don't get a winner by the end today, we'll post a question tomorrow on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook with Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. When we come back, News Note Quickies, and once again, Nancy Nagel, the best-selling author, whose work, The Show Collector, becomes a Fox Nation made-for-TV movie next Thursday. She will join us live from Virginia after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtogray.com, twitter.com, twitter.com, together reaching over 70 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Check out Successful Women Radio this Monday, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best to be charged 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised. I'm with you live from New Haven, New York. It's been raining on and off most of the afternoon. It looks like it's clearing up right now after a thunderstorm at the top of the hour. Welcome to those of you just joining us at the bottom of the hour. Happy to be with you from New Haven, New York. 82 degrees at the bottom of the hour. If you have a question or comment for upcoming guests, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Nancy Nagel, the author of The Show Collector, which will be a Fox Nation made-for-TV movie next Thursday, December 1st. She will rejoin us from Virginia after these News Note Quickies. Vizio has launched a preferred developer program to speed up creation of new channels and interactive services. The project stems from the Smart TV Maker's first developer conference last month, attended by officials from 65 companies. Series Fest will hold a TV series pitch-a-thon September 13th at the Toronto Film Festival. The winning pitcher gets $2,500. Bilingual comedy Acapulco opens its second season on October 21st on Apple TV+. ABC previews its fall 2022 lineup in prime time September 14th. The cast of Home Economics will do the hosting honors. No more daily or nightly talk shows on E! As of early October. A new weeknight entertainment news series will debut on E! Before the end of October. And Gentleman Jack creator-producer Sally Wainwright has set her next series effort, The Ballad of Renegade Neil, for Disney+. And that is News Notes for today. And now rejoining us live from Patrick Streams, Virginia, the best-selling author whose work, The Shell Collector, becomes a Fox Nation made-for-TV movie, their first September 1st, Nancy Nagel. Nancy, welcome back to our program. It is great to have you back.
Thanks, Simon. That was exciting news with George Lee.
Yes, it was. Georgia is really a wonderful talent, and this is the first time she has executive produced a show on a series, and so far it looks like it's off to the races. And again, Arden, for those who missed the first half, Arden Cho, who plays the lead role of Ingrid Yu, an Asian American who is trying to make her way up the ladder to become a partner at a old school law firm. A lot of people think, myself included, that she will be one of the breakout stars of this year in all of television. Nancy, how did The Shell Collector become a Fox Nation movie?
Oh, gosh. You know, I wish I had the answer to that. People always want to know how my books become movies. And I have to tell you, I think a lot of it is just blessings and good luck. I wrote The Shell Collector a couple years ago. It is the book of my heart. It was the book that I wrote following the loss of my husband back in 2014. He died after a very short battle with cancer. And there was a friend of our family who lived on the Outer Banks, and my cousin had told me the story about her walking the beaches, and one morning as she walked the beach with something heavy on her heart, she kicked up a shell, and it had a message in it, and when she lifted it up and read it, it was a scripture, and she thought, oh my gosh, you know, it's exactly what she needed to hear that day, and it really uplifted her, and over a six-year period, she found four of those shells. Well, in 2014, when I lost my husband, 5 weeks later, I lost my cousin as well. And I remember thinking, man, I could use a bucket of those shells right now. And out of that, this story, The Shell Collector, just started brewing in my heart. And so it came out in 2021 with Waterbrook Press, which is a division of Penguin Random House. And it is my favorite book that I've written. I think it's the best book I've written. And it's so special to me because not only because it came from a place, you know, of grief and finding happiness again, but, you know, we're all going to go through that. And if I could touch people in such a way that when they're faced with that kind of a part of their life where they're navigating grief, if I can touch them in a positive way and help them find some hope or get through that a little bit more gracefully, my goodness, I mean, that would be just the best thing that I could ever do in my lifetime. So I was just so tickled that, you know, Fox contacted me about optioning this story last year, and I've been on pins and needles waiting for it.
Mm-hmm. Over the years on this program, Nancy, we have had authors like yourself who have been involved in either TV series or made-for-TV movies, and the relationship, once the project is greenlighted, is either I'm going to be an executive producer, I'm going to have a hands-on role in this, as Tom Perata did in the prize-winning HBO series The Leftovers, or as was David Baldacci, another best-selling author, did, and we had him on when Hallmark Channel did a film called The Christmas House, adapted from one of his stories. You know, I trust the Hallmark Channel people enough that, you know, I'll be in the background. They'll all the deal, and I'll just enjoy the film. What was your role in terms of this film? I'm going to really be involved in how this how my creation gets showing up on camera, or I will trust Fox Nation to get my vision on the screen?
Well, maybe it's a Virginia thing, because David Baldacci's from here in Virginia too. But I had the same approach as he did, and the same as I did with my Hallmark movies, and that was that. You know, I left that work to the people that are the best in the industry and trusted that they'd bring that story to fruition in a beautiful way. And I got to read the screenplay early on and so moved and touched by the screenplay. It was amazing. It hit all the major characters, all the highlights, all the story turns that were really special to me. And, you know, I've been through this four times with novels of my own, and then I also did novels for some Hallmark original movies, so kind of the backwards way. The Hallmark movies were already made, and I wrote the novels for them. So I knew, I was educated enough to know that not every part of a 90,000-word novel can make it into a movie. You know, that movie of the week time slot is just not that big. So I was prepared to see a lot of things drop. And when I read that screenplay and saw that, you know, all those important elements made it into the final version, I was just ecstatic.
What was important for you to have the screenplay and ultimately the finished project show people? What's the most important element for viewers to get that you felt that the screenplay and ultimately the film really does well with?
Yeah, well, you know, there's a few really important parts. I mean, one is there's certainly a big nod to our military families and the roles that the wives play or the spouses play, you know, to the military folks that are, you know, going off to support our nation. So there's a huge nod into that. And I grew up in the Virginia Beach, Norfolk area, so we had a huge military presence around there. And I grew up with kids whose daddies were gone for Christmas and, you know, things like that. So, you know, I had a firsthand look at a lot of those impacts. So bringing that to the story was really special to me. But I think, you know, overall, it's just the idea of, you know, trusting your journey and being able to navigate you know, life as it's being put in front of you and trusting yourself. You know, it's really hard when you lose somebody that you've been married to kind of unbraid yourself and find yourself again and then feel strong enough that you can make a step forward without disrespecting and without dishonoring that special relationship with the person that you've lost. So, you know, it's a difficult journey, but in the book, and they've done this in the movie too, there's such a great balance of, you know, fun stuff, and the kids bring some light humor. And I was so excited because one of the favorite characters in the book that I get over and over in reviews is the wife. And the wife is actually an African gray parrot who's just a back-talking, sassy parrot. And that even made it into the movie, which is great because it lightens up some of those, you know, more difficult topics that we're tackling in this movie and book. But it's a beautiful novel adaptation.
You got it, Nancy. The movie in the book is The Shell Collector. It is Fox Nation's first made-for-TV movie in its run, and that movie will premiere Thursday, September 1st on Fox Nation. It's available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And in some markets, also available on cable systems, such as Comcast Xfinity subscribers and cable systems. Also available on the Roku channel and Contour, the special work of Cox Cable Systems around the country. Nancy joins us live from a wonderful location in Virginia, Patrick Springs, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Tom Alba, I'm with you live up north from where she is in Nueva York, 82 degrees on top of the hour. Hopefully things are now drying out after a bunch of thunderstorms throughout this afternoon. Hope all is great weather-wise where you are as we get ready for a fun weekend. And if a question or comment for Nancy, make a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Three more episodes of Tomorrow Be Televised will come your way next week as we wrap up August and get ready for a huge September. Coming your way on Monday, which like this episode will start at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, we will have the creator executive producer of DC Stargirl going into its third season next Wednesday on the CW, Jeff Johns. And 1 week from today, we will mark the 50th anniversary of MASH, beginning on CBS, a television series unlike any other, really you might say the first real dramedy in TV history, with Alan Alda, Wayne Rogers, McLean Stevenson, incredible cast, wonderful talent behind the scenes like Gene Reynolds and Burton Metcalf and Larry Gelbart and so many more. A series that ran 11 years on CBS, many, many more in reruns. Somewhere in the United States, somebody is playing MASH at this hour. And we will have the people behind a documentary special on this 50th anniversary that will run next month on Reels channel. We'll have executive producer Andy Streitfeld. We'll have the director Brad Osborne. And we'll have former Fox executive Dan Harrison, who is also a big expert on all things MASH. That's all on our opening half hour, 1 week from today, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Nancy, are there certain guidelines when your work is adapted for television? Are there certain guidelines that you'll go by in terms of, I want this program here or there, or, you know, if they have a plan to do the adaptation that doesn't jive with what you want, you say, nope, I have integrity about this. I'm going to let it go somewhere else.
Well, you know, that would have to happen way up front in the options section, and so there's not a whole lot of exciting discussions at that point. Usually at that point, I'm just so excited that somebody's going to represent my story, and if it was somebody I didn't trust, I wouldn't talk to them or sign that to begin with. You know, Hallmark Channel was a no-brainer. I've been a huge fan for years and years, you know, Fox as well. So, you know, I felt really comfortable that they would represent my story, my brand, in a really positive way. So I wasn't too worried.
Yeah. Now, in The Shell Collector, the main story is about this widow who is in a seaside town. She's trying to work the next chapter of her life out, and no matter how that chapter unfolds. But it's not just about her. It's about three friends she meets up with. It's about other people in the town. It really is it's not just a one-person story. This is a more universal story involving a lot of people in this town.
Correct. Yeah, and, you know, Wilkes Island is a fictional town, which would be in real life out towards the Outer Banks of North Carolina. And, you know, it's the guys in the diner, and it's the, you know, the lady that's lived there her whole life, you know, walking that beach for years and years, and neighbors that are, you know, checking in, and old friends that show up and create new beginnings and new friendships. So yeah, it's really nice to see, these people in this community kind of rescue each other.
Talk about the lead performance in this film and how much of that performance from that actress is you.
Oh, gosh. You know, the stories I write definitely come from my emotion, and stories I write are totally fiction. So I wouldn't say that there's anything like me in the actress's, you know, interpretation of it. However, I think they both did a great job. I mean, Christopher Russell plays Paul, and boy, does he do an amazing job. He is, you know, a Marine, and he is strong and helpful and kind-hearted and swoon-worthy to boot. There are a few scenes in that I just know are going to steal some hearts and make some tears come. And Caitlin Clark did an amazing job playing the role of Amanda. You know, that was not an easy role to play. I mean, we're talking about a woman who's lost her husband, who's, you know, 2 years ago, she's still trying to raise her children and pull herself up and start a new business and trust her new neighbors. And so, and she's broken, you know, and she's finding her way back. And she did a good job of, you know, being able to share those really tough emotions. And it's such a tough role to pull off. So I was really excited to see her bring that to life. And Jennifer Higgin plays the role of Maeve. And Maeve is our octogenarian who's walking that beach every day and knows everybody and everything that's going on in town. And although she didn't look anything like the Maeve in my head, she absolutely did make the role come to life in such a beautiful way. And I think the viewers are really going to fall in love with her.
Mm-hmm. Has Fox Nation talked about the possibility, and I know this is maybe on the early side because the film premieres next week, about maybe a sequel or turning it into a series?
Wouldn't that be awesome? You know what? I would just say all my readers and people who watch this movie and love it, I hope they'll just share those thoughts with Fox, because I'm sure they'll be eagerly listening through social media to see what our thoughts are, because I've got over 32 books in print. Some of them are in series. I've got lots of Christmas stories. And, you know, one thing that I always guarantee my readers is, you know, there's going to be some kind of a small town connection. It's going to be about community, hope, and the kind of world that, you know, we all really want to be living in. So it's a great way to escape some of the ugly stuff that's out there and get back to our roots, you know, to helping one another and living our best lives and putting our best foot forward. I think we all need a little more.
Do any TV shows inspire your work?
Well, no, I wouldn't say they do. Really what more inspires my work are my travels and visits with people. You know, 1 year I went on an Alaskan cruise and I came back after doing a glass-blowing excursion and wrote a whole book about with a glass-blowing hero. And, you know, another one with, you know, a fireman when my house got struck by lightning, you know, I got to meet all the firemen. So, you know, it's more real life that influences my work than television.
Where do you see your work in TV going, Nancy? Do you see a desire to perhaps write your own made-for-TV movie or develop your own television series? Author Debbie McComber, who is, like you, a very best-selling author, was able to see her work adapted so well that Hallmark Channel did a series called Cabot Code with Annie McDowell, I believe, in the lead role.
Yes.
And that ran a good run on that service.
Yeah, and I love Debbie McComber. She's one of my favorites. I've had the pleasure to get to know her. She even did the blurb for The Shell Collector, so it was really a highlight for me. But, yeah, absolutely. I've been tinkering with some screenplays. And I'm kind of excited to be able to get those on somebody's radar. But yeah, I hope that I'll have a little bit more, not only, you know, showing up on television, but maybe a little bit more control and input into somehow some things will turn out. So stay tuned on that. You know, it's a very different artwork, though. You know, writing books is all about, you know, painting that picture for them. And, you know, all that work that I love, you know, building my towns and creating my scenes and tempting your senses is nowhere in the screenplay process. We have to trust, you know, the videography and the actors to do that part. So it's really different. It's a breath of fresh air to do both.
Mm-hmm. Nancy, final question for you. You know, we're now seeing so many places where you can do a made-for-TV movie. It's Hallmark Channel, it's Hallmark Movies and Mysteries, which this Sunday, by the way, will be launching its set of Mahogany shows with their first made-for-TV movie under that same Hallmark card brand. Food Network, which did a movie for Christmas last year. They're expanding with two this year. Home and Garden Television is getting in. Fox Nation is getting in. We have GAC Media or GAC Family now doing movies for holidays or romance, rom-com, whatever. What do you mean the fact that there's Lifetime, of course, there's so many places now where you see made-for-TV movies. What do you think about the genre as a whole and the fact that you as an author, with so many novels to your credit, have so many places to do made-for-TV movie deals?
Well, I love it. You know, when I first signed on with my agent years ago and I said I wanted to have a Hallmark movie someday, she laughed. and said, oh, yeah, you and everybody else, that never happens. And even when I got my first option, she said, oh, don't get excited. Lots of them get optioned. They never get made. You know, but now I think those doors are really opening with so much streaming and all just, you know, all the networks that you just mentioned. And, you know, there's just seems to be a huge and growing appetite for good family-friendly content. And that just thrills me to no end. And, you know, I had one of my movies that was on Hallmark actually had the Food Network, the Chopped judge, Manon Chohit, on in the movie. You know, so I think it's kind of cool to start seeing, you know, romance and love stories and things like that show up on HGTV and Food Network and Fox and Fox Nation and all these. I think it just gives us more to choose from. And, you know, as a consumer, it gives us lots of choices and variety to find the things that touch our hearts. And, you know, they'll all be a little different, and it should give us something to watch no matter when we're tuning in.
The Shell Collector, based on the best-selling novel by our guest Nancy Nagel, starring Caitlin Clark, Christopher Russell, and Jennifer Higgin, premieres next Thursday, September 1st, on Fox Nation. It's available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices all over the U.S. of A. Also in some markets, it appears on cable systems by Comcast, Cox, and other operators. So check your local listings for that possibility. And for more details about the film, at one of four, by the way, that Fox Nation will produce and run over the next year, go to foxnation.com. It's Fox Nation, all one phrase, foxnation.com. The Shell Collector premieres next Thursday, September 1st. Nancy Nagel, thank you so much for being on. Congratulations on seeing this adaptation happen and on your ongoing work as a top novelist. And thank you for the extra time, by the way, in our first half hour. We're waiting for Georgia Lee. Congratulations on this. All the very best to you, and hopefully more made-for-TV work coming from your novels very, very soon.
Excellent. I'll keep you posted on that, Simon. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Nancy. Thanks again. Take care. Have a fantastic weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Nancy Nagel, best-selling author, The Shell Collector, again, from one of her best novels around. That's on Fox Nation starting September 1st, next Thursday. Before we go into our takeaway of the week, let's give you our classic trivia question one more time. Who created Candid Camera? Who created Candid Camera? If you're first with the correct answer by email, you'll win a trio of prizes, two best-selling books by recent TWBT guests. We've got The Unexpected Danny Green, novel that may be considered a series by Paul Friedman, and from noted entertainment PR guru Dan Harari, it is Flirting with Fame. If you want to hear what the interesting sides of dealing with great stars, from Bruce Springsteen to all sorts of TV and film celebrities, Dan Harari has written a very good book about it and told us about it, by the way, on our show about a month or so ago. And you get that plus the Nickelodeon Loud House Christmas set just in time for the holiday season. So, again, here's the question. Who created Candid Camera? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com, simonapple04@yahoo.com. If you missed the question, we'll post it tomorrow morning on Facebook and Twitter if we don't get a winner by the end of day today. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWT. Before, remember, in order to win, you got to get in. Do so. And all the very best. Good luck to all. Now time for our regular Friday feature, the Takeaway of the Week, where we highlight a development or two that takes place over the course of this week we think you should take away from as impacting the future of television and the future of what you watch on TV. And today, our takeaway goes like this. A good for all ages takeaway of the week, courtesy of Apple TV+. You know, Apple TV Plus has now been around for nearly 3 years. And one of the things they have not gotten credit for all that time is they have become, over the course of those 3 years, a very good repository for original programming that's good for not only kids and families, but anybody of any age. We're talking about animated shows like The Snoopy Show, so much more, and more recently, Fraggle Rock. And in recent time, live-action shows like Amber Brown from Bonnie Hunt. And two shows that we have featured on this program over the last month, Best Foot Forward, dealing with a middle school student with a prosthetic leg and how he deals with the world around him, particularly the school world around him. And more recently, last Friday, Surfside Girls, based on the possible IDW graphic novel series. There's more in the pipeline, by the way, from Apple TV+. Here's the bottom line. They have become a great resource for original programming, both live action and animated, that really caters to people of all ages. And at a time when some services like HBO Max are cutting back on that kind of programming, Apple TV Plus increasing, good for them. By the way, for the folks at Sony may be listening to this program, Gordita Chronicles, which was on HBO Max and canceled a couple of weeks ago, why not bring it to Apple TV Plus? I think they'll give it great, great treatment and for the second season and hopefully way beyond. Of course, for more details about Apple TV Plus, go to www.apple.com/TV or appletv.com. I want to thank both of our guests for being with us today, Georgia Lee from Partner Trap, which is off to a great start today on Netflix, produced here in New York, and Nancy Nagel from the upcoming Fox Nation movie. Their first of four, they'll come out over the next year, The Shell Collector. And thank all of you for tuning in. Remember, we have three episodes coming your way next week. First one will be at this hour, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. The other will be our regular time period, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Coming up on Monday, among our guests, Jeff Johns, the creator executive producer of DC Stargirl, starting season 3 Wednesday on the CW. And 1 week from today, our first segment celebrates the 50th anniversary of MASH, starting on CBS, on its way to becoming one of the great TV programs of all time, and maybe television's first dramedy. Special retrospective of the series coming up next month on Reels. We'll talk to the executive producer of that special, Andy Sweetfeld, the director, Brett Osborne, and former Fox executive and MASH expert, Dan Harrison. It's 1 week from today, our opening half hour right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. If you came in late on today's episode, you want to catch up an episode you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And all weekend long, check out our podcast, whether it's iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, podcastnews.com, our newest podcast platform, podbine.com, as well as our special website, tomorrowwillbetelevised.onpodium.com. You'll find our episodes there. This one will be popping up at all of our podcast destinations a few minutes after we complete today's program. Remember, we always love hearing from you. What do you think about today's program and our guests? And what's your thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going? Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com, and find me on social media, specifically Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Facebook, LinkedIn, Simon Applebaum. Twitter, UBC Simon, TWET. However you communicate with us, we communicate back with you within 24 hours. That's our promise to you. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed are those of the participants. They are not say those of Blog Talk Radio, none of the distributors of this program. Andy Toe is B-Chart General Manager. Jay Soderberg is Head of Content. Website service provided by On Podium, the Internet's new podcast outpost. Guitars Vegas is our web coordinator. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a wonderful weekend. Spend it great with anyone you love and everyone too. And we'll be back on Monday at 1 hour later than normal. Remember, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. Our other two episodes next week, Wednesday and Friday, at our normal time, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. You know where, either way, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio, and all of our podcast destinations and our website as well. Whatever you're doing between now and Monday afternoon, make it as safe and great as possible. If you haven't been vaccinated, please see your doctor, check the medical situation where you are, and check out all the treatments that are available to you as alternative vaccines and boosters. And once you do that, then make a great choice, your choice. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.